a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention. Government is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Are you ready, Lou? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Stronghold Radio, however you're hearing us, whether it's on delay, relay, podcast or live. It is currently the 13th of July, 2011. It is a Wednesday, a somewhat less hot day than usual. It's actually below 90 degrees here at Camp Kuia, and we thank you for tuning in however you're tuning in, whether you're listening to us on Militant Christian View Radio on Channel 2 on the CB in Dundee, New York. If you're listening from, Indiana Freedom Talk Radio, Spike putting us out there, or I'm not even sure if we're on anymore on Liberty Tree Radio, all that regular. I think they kind of use us as fill-in, which is great. I am glad anytime they use us, and I am very appreciative of that. And anyone else that is retransmitting us, if you're hearing us some other way, let us know. Drop us an email at dutch@dutchjones.info. That's D-U-T-C-H, the little at symbol, D-U-T-C-H-J-O-E-N-S.info. So, thank you very much. And I made a comment as we were going off the air yesterday because I forgot to do it. Olima and I have been exchanging emails all day. She's just gotten too busy to do the hard work involved with maintaining our archive. She's done a great job so far over this. Oh boy, it's been over a year, hasn't it? And I just love the ability to have an archive that we can send people to. But fortunately, in her life, things have picked up with volunteerism and things like work and that, and she can't do it anymore. So we're going to be doing our own, but we're looking for a volunteer if we could. I'm going to try to get Lou to do it, but I don't know if we have the bandwidth to do it all that much. So right now, I am recording our own show. We're doing a little test here. What am I using? What's the software, Lou? Audacity to record it. Because one of the problems she ran into is Ustream, being a free service, keeps inserting commercials, and she was taking the time, God bless her, going through and taking out all the commercials so people wouldn't have to listen to those. Now, what I don't know is if when the commercials come up, do we lose programming? Or does it just make the show lag? I don't know. So we will be making, as of right now, recording. She's going to be doing it till the 15th, so Friday. So we're going to have to figure out a way to do it. Now, maybe we'll just go down the hill every Saturday and upload them so you won't get that speedy professional service that you were getting from Olima, because we're going to have to be about a week behind, I think, for each one. And I apologize for that, but it's just the way it is because we have limited bandwidth. But we will do our best. And you'll still be able, unless we get kicked off the air, to hear the entire programs through Ustream. Unfortunately, with the commercials inserted, there's no way around that. I think they want several hundred dollars a month if we want to get rid of those commercials, and I just can't justify that, and I apologize for that inconvenience. And until we find a better way of doing it, we'll keep doing it this way. We're always evolving. We're always adapting here at Stronghold Radio, and that's just the way it is. Well, this is Stronghold Radio, and if you listen to yesterday's show, it generated a few more emails than normal. People they thought I was bad-talking the militia. I was not bad-talking the militia. I was saying that people who call themselves militia just don't seem to be getting it. And I'm not talking about the movement with the capital M. I'm talking about just the ones I know. Just my own little world. I wasn't bad-talking the Michigan folks or the Arkansas folks or any of the other folks that are out there, but the people I come into contact with personally, face-to-faces, I don't think they get it. And I'm getting a little frustrated here in Central California, And I know people listening outside, well, it's California, what do you expect? Well, we have a strong tradition of real militias here, going all the way back to the founding of the state and even before. And it's just sad that they forget it. So we switched to using the word partisan, Christian partisans. I'm not abandoning the militia movement. I'm not abandoning the term. I just like the term Christian partisan. Christians, what was it? PFC, Partisans for Christ is what Steve was calling it on yesterday's show. So PFC. So he's picked up on that term. We seem to have ruffled a few feathers. Can somebody help him with that, Lou? Help him in the chat room with that. There was some lady who was obviously listening to the show that sent Steve an email through his abolishislam.com dealio and said that we shouldn't be doing a man camp, we shouldn't be fighting because the New World Order taking over, the Luciferians taking over, the Zionists taking over, the liberals, everything is God's plan and we're just thwarting God's plan, and she just wanted to sit on her hands and wait for the spanking and the rapture to come. Now, that is a view. It's a retarded view, but it is a view. And right now, if that is someone that is currently listening to this radio show, I want you to go outside and bang your head on a tree until you fall unconscious. Because people like that really don't have a place in the solution. They have no place in the cause. They are off in their own little world, and they just suffer and suffer and suffer. They're like the deep-hearted Catholics, the deep-hearted Jews, that are just like, well, the suffering is the glory of it all. That's not what we as Christians are about. Christ is in control. He's always in control. And he commands us to resist. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. And if you don't like that, you're listening to the wrong show. If you're tuning in here to get recipes for canning or something like that, those are so intermittent, you're not going to get those. This isn't the show for you. Lou's trying to get that link for you in there. He's got to load it up on his and then get it in there. So hang on there. I see Freedom. He's trying to get it for you. The news of the day, of course, is everyone's talking about the debt ceiling. Wow. Talk about a circus, a menagerie of just shaved apes over there in Washington, D.C., just flinging poo at each other. I don't even understand one day to the next really how it's such a shell game. We are in such detrimental danger of collapsing. It doesn't really matter what they do over there. They're just kicking the can a little farther down the road. All you Republican types, all you Democrat types that are cheering for your sides, you're fools. Really, it's just, you're going to get sold out by the Republicans. The Democrats are going to get what they want. And there's the link in there now, guys, if you're looking for the Ustream link. There is absolutely no way around the fact that we just can't function the way we are. And it's been a house of cards so far. So I'm really, 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 really glad that someone, you know, the few people, you got Ron Paul out there, you've got Bachman, who are refusing to give on it. They're just going to, you know, do it. And then you get Obongo coming out saying he's going to cut off all the money to the old people and the retarded people. Which is funny because they have enough money, they'll have enough tax money coming in to pay for everything they need except for federal salaries, the military, and a couple other things. So what they need to do is just pay what they owe. And this is going to be surprising coming from me. I think if you paid into Social Security, you deserve every penny that they promised you out. That was a contract they made with you. I personally could care less. I just threw the money away. I didn't think I was ever going to get it. I don't plan on ever getting it. You know, I'll start robbing Federal Reserve banks when that time comes, when I hit like 63 and I need money. I'll be like a geriatric Jesse James. But they made promises. They dumped a bunch of IOUs in Social Security, and it's now time that they have to pay that up. And if that brings down the fall and they have to cut, I think all congressmen, senators, public officials, all public elected officials should have their pay just stopped. Just stopped. And they should work for free. They should turn to handouts from their constituents to keep them going. I just think that's the way it should be. Here in California, we had a major scab peeled off. The accounting general's office, whatever, you know, went in and wanted to see what the salaries were like in the state of California for public officials. The highest paid public official, employee, not official, public employee, they included officials and employees, is a doctor who works for the prison system, specifically a prison up in Susanville, who gets $750,000 a year. And get this. For the past 3 years, he's been sitting in a mail room sorting mail. He is not allowed to see any patients because he's been found to be a danger to patients. But because of union agreements and a lawsuit he filed, he collects $750,000 a year sorting the mail until he retires. He's been fired once, but the union, the prison union, they got together and they fought for him. And he is now sitting in a mail room as we speak. He's probably working today, sorting mail because he's been found to be such a heinous doctor that he can't even work on inmates. He's getting $750,000 a year. Now, hopefully something's going to be done about this. Several people need to lose their jobs. I know people are going to go, yeah, but it's not their fault. It's the union's fault. No, where's the common sense in the system? If they got rid of even half the waste and stupidity in all levels of government, there would be enough money to run even the ridiculous things they want to run. The fraud and corruption is amazing. I saw it myself. I'd go through my budget when I worked for the city of Moreno Valley, and I'd see a line item that says $50,000 for, what'd they say, what's the word? They have a word for it in government. It's like consulting fees, but that's not the word I'm looking for. And I said, well, what kind of consulting fees? I said, well, for people to make videos and do PR for the city. I go, but you already pay me $50,000 a year plus benefits to do that. Why do you have an additional $50,000? Oh, well, we just kind of put it in your budget. Basically, it was a slush fund. So I tried to access it. I started to use it to buy videotapes and T-shirts and, you know, to hand out to people like, hey, come play in our parks or, you know, stuff like that from Moreno Valley. And they got furious. So then I said, okay, I found one of the gadflies that sits in the back of the room during all the city council meetings. I sat down. I showed them my budget. I go, I have no idea what this is. I didn't put it in there when I requested my budget. And then so he took it and ran with it. And then the other thing was, when we get near the end of the fiscal year is run October to October, the places I've worked. I don't know how that is everywhere else. But they would come to me and say, look, if you don't spend your money, you're going to lose it. I said, well, I don't need it. I go, can I just give it back? And then, or, you know, and they're like, no, your budget's got to grow by 7 to 12% every year. No, I don't need it. I was able to save money by doing these cost-cutting things. And they said, well, then if you don't spend it, it comes out of your budget, you know, for next year. You don't get your increase. I'm like, okay. And they were just furious. This is the same city that spent like $10,000 on a crystal punch bowl for a British dignitary that was coming in to think about maybe doing some kind of trade zone function with March Air Force Base. But that's the way that governments are. There's just so much disgusting waste. And then meanwhile, they want to increase the revenue coming in, and they consider taxing and penalties and all that revenue, so they're going to do everything they can. You would not believe the number of highway patrolmen we've seen this week on the road. They are all over the place. Normally we have one sheriff's deputy up here cruising around. We have two sheriff's deputies and two highway patrolmen cruising the area. And people say, well, it's tourist season. No, it's the middle of the week. There's really nobody here. There's some foreign people. They take the shuttle buses and things. They're just cruising for every penny they can get. We saw them all over the freeway. In fact, when we drove back from the VA, we took the back roads because I was just like, I'm going to avoid as much as I can of just, I just don't want to get in their speed traps. I drove, you know, Lou got an app for my phone with a little, it's got like a road rally computer on it. So I made it so, you know, we figured out the best route, and I just cruised along at 54.9 miles an hour and took the back roads and just stayed out of the way of the bandits, the pavement bandits. Let me turn that down a little bit there. We got the fans going again, even though it's not too hot. We're so used to having the fans. I apologize for that. But that's what we're doing. And so it's just, it's crazy out there, and there's really nothing that's going to fix it. Even if they do the right thing, I still think we've gotten past the tipping point. I mentioned that last year. Eventually, this house of cards is going to come down financially. Unemployment is crazy. It's just insane. They're getting ready for the big Fresno Fair. They're going to hire 1,000 unskilled labor types, you know, to sweep up the churros and empty the trash cans and wipe the graffiti off the restrooms that the little cholos are going to put up and you know, wind you, well, they'll probably use security for that. But just the, you know, the little $8 to $10 an hour thing. They had like 5,000 people show up before 5 o'clock in the morning, it said on the news. And they're like begging for jobs. They were interviewing people. Oh, I've been out of work for 2 years, 3 years. I've been unemployment. I've reached the end of my unemployment. And it's only for 2 weeks of work. 2 weeks of work, and the people are lining up like that. I'm blessed. You know, I can go to our neighbors and knock on their door and say, hey, you know, will you hire my son to go, you know, chew on some oleander or something? And we can make enough money to get food each day. We can make enough money to get gas when we need to go. And then, and so we've been very blessed that way, and we thank the Lord for that. But those of you that have to make a mortgage payment, a car payment, you know, we've got bills, but nothing compared to what the majority of Americans have. You know, we've given that up. We're making our transition to Little House on the Prairie as soon as we can. But I can't imagine. They manipulate the numbers. You know, it's probably more like 12 to 18% nationwide. It's over 25% here in this area, just because agriculture took such a hit with the man-made drought and all. So the manipulation of the system, gold went over $1,530 an ounce when all these things are going on, when, you know, they're seeing that we're probably going to default on our loan. Well, here's what I think is going to happen. People have been asking me, what's going to happen? I think they're going to raise the debt ceiling. I don't think they're going to get the balanced budget amendment. I think the Republicans are going to cave. At least that's what they're going to make it look like, that they had no choice. They're talking now about giving Obama the executive privilege of being able to raise the debt limit whenever he wants, and that he needs a two-thirds vote to override him in the Congress. And then that's a political move, saying so they can blame all of this on Obongo. Well, they're all in cohesion. They're all working together. It's all backroom deals. They're all trying to keep their jobs for as long as they possibly can and squeeze every penny out of the American economy before they turn us into a third world nation. Period. So the sooner you get out of that system, the sooner you take your money out of the bank, the sooner you stop worrying about your 401k and all that stuff. And I know it's tough. I know you're going, Dutch, you're nuts. We can't all just go live on a church farm somewhere like you are. Well, just because you can't do it doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. Crazy stuff, isn't it? Crazy times we live in. I lay awake at night thinking about how it must have felt like people just after the crash, you know, in the last century, or during, you know, just the times in our history when things were at their bleakest or just on the precipice. Did they know? Did they know how bad it really was going to get? Does America know just how bad it's going to get in the next 5 to 10 years? Maybe even 2 years. Cops are shooting people for ridiculous things. Crime's rampant, but they're lying about it. We have border incursions coming across and invading our country from the south. The only good thing I've seen in the news lately is that they froze like $800 billion worth of payments to Pakistan. I know that's probably an exaggeration, but whatever it was. They're not going to give them the money, so they're just going to infuriate the Pakis even more. So it's all just a game. Speaking of Pakistanis, we saw a great movie. Was it yesterday? One of the young men here at the church that we work with, he's another 15, 16-year-old kid, and he was working, and he goes, hey, you guys seen this movie called The Four Lions? And you got to look it up. Write that down. Four Lions. It is a dark comedy about retarded, you know, Lou says they weren't retarded, but just idiot jihadists, what would be the term, in England. You know, they're born in England, but they want to go back to Pakistan. They want to become Al-Qaeda. They want to do something for the jihad. And it's hilarious. My favorite characters, there's one guy in it. He's a white British guy who accidentally converted himself to Islam because he was like a skinhead and he wanted to fight with the Muslims. So he read the Quran, and while reading it, he accidentally converted himself to Islam. And it's a dark, it's no happy ending. It's not barrel laugh, haha. It's like, I don't even know how they made it. Whoever made it, it just wants to infuriate the Muslims, because it makes Muslims look really stupid. But they're all played by Muslims, yeah. In fact, some of the actors have been in other movies that were like pro-Muslim before. When I look, and they're anti-American. But this one was, I don't know what the point of the movie was, other than it made me just, I just loved it, watching guys accidentally blow themselves up and watching them try to operate, you know, AT-4s and stuff like that over in the desert in Pakistan. And good stuff. It's got some vulgarity in it. Half the time, because they're heavy British accents, I didn't understand what they were saying, and they do subtitle it when they speak Paki. But it's just the white guy that converted to Islam was just hilarious. I'd like to see him play any kind of character again. I gotta look up what his name was, but look it up. It's called The Four Lions, and it's just I can't even compare it to any movie I've ever seen because it's just dark humor. How they go and get the materials to build the bombs and what they go through and just the stupidity of it. You know, I wish our enemy were, maybe that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to show that our enemy is just a bunch of misguided fools. But for every 10, you know, sharp, sophisticated terrorists, there's going to be one or two idiots. I think it said on the poster for it, it said something like, sometimes jihad is for idiots too, and you just got to watch it. And it even makes fun of the anti-terrorist police. I'll do one spoiler. A Wookiee gets killed in it. That was the highlight of the movie for me, when a Wookiee gets killed, and arguing over, you know, what a Wookiee was. But I highly recommend it. It's up there on my list. Usually when people recommend movies to us, we don't end up liking them. We're like, what were they thinking? That was really stupid. That was really bad. It's good to see, you know, it's a little relief, comic relief. I got a fly crawling on the inside of my glasses. For a minute, I thought we were taken over by giant fly mutant alien overlords. I thought this giant fly was coming at me. One of the other things that we were doing today, and I highly recommend you don't forget this, even though we've just finished up, you know, we had our great training with Larry Wick, and I highly recommend it. You get the videos and you study some of the stuff. We were watching Krav Maga today. That's absolutely my most favorite, you know, and all you anti-Zionist people are going to get mad at me, but I love Krav Maga. And it made me think, you know, I don't even care what it is you do, but you've got to get your family in some unarmed self-defense training. Now, if you can't all go out and pay the $50 a head per month to go wear your bathrobe and bow and do all that other stuff, stay away from traditional stuff, Lou says. Get some videos and do it in your home and teach your kids this stuff, because as the noose gets tighter around our necks, I'm thinking I won't be able to carry this pistol, because probably by August we're going to lose open carry. They keep pushing the vote off because they're scared of the NRA. But eventually they'll vote in that no more open carry, and it's going to be a felony for me to carry this pistol even here in the county. So you're going to have to travel among the clowns in the cities and the zombies. And it's best if you can handle yourself or disarm someone and take their weapon. Do not neglect just hand-to-hand fighting. I can't, there's so many terms for it, but do not neglect that in your family's training. Find some good videos. Email Lou and he'll recommend some. Lou's got some great ones. He seems to find, very seldom does he find a stupid one, and we just kind of watch the first 10 minutes. He does have a lot of stupid ones, but he just doesn't show them to me. But this who's this guy that was doing the Krav Maga today? Moni Isaacs. Anyway, what's the system called? Commando Krav Maga, CKM, and it was very good, and it was funny, because it even taught you what to do if you're attacked while using in the restroom. You know, usually, you're at home, somebody kicks in the door, yep, you got ninjas, and they come in and they start attacking you. But this was good, like you're sitting in a chair in a bar, and somebody comes up and starts choking you from behind, you're in an automobile, you're in a crowded area and somebody pulls a pistol and you have to take it away from them. And they show what happens when you do it wrong. When you do what everybody tells you to do in the movies and stuff, and how everybody around you gets killed, you get killed, your wife gets raped, your children get eaten alive. But then it goes through step by step, and it just showed how to do these things, and I highly, highly recommend it. Anything you can do to better prepare your family for physical violence and how to deal with it. I mean, Mumbai in India, they had more terrorist attacks there. I think it was today or yesterday. I can't remember. My mind's gone. It's turned to mush sometimes. But explosions around the world, and this stuff's going to be brought here. And they're going to blame it on you not wanting to pay more taxes. Well, you didn't want to pay more taxes, so the terrorists came here to kill you. Yeah, we know that's all just cause and effect of the prison state. But don't you think you want your kids knowing how to read a room? How to find egress and escape, or if somebody put, even if it's just common everyday vicious monster crime, somebody tries to snatch your little girl, don't you want her to know how to break a pinky and walk away? So don't neglect that part of it. Don't think that just because we do all this really cool training here, that we expect you to do, you know, only that. No, just the simple stuff. You know, making sure your kids all carry really sharp pencils with them everywhere they go. You know, and jab them in the eye of an attacker. That kind of thing. You know, and make, you know, just make them aware of what kind of world we live in now. People say, but you shouldn't be freaking your kids out. Hey, I'd rather have my kid a little tweaked and paranoid than dead or gone. So weigh it that way. Speaking of training, this Sunday coming up, we have our free community emergency response team training. It's going to be shelter operations. This is going to be a tabletop, folks. We're not going to be outside. There's no Saturday. But what we'll be doing is we're going to sit down around the table. We're going to take what we learned last month, and I'm going to ask you folks to go over what you gathered, and let's put it to work. You're going to work in little groups of 3 to 4 people. I'm going to give you duties, and you have to put on paper what you would do. It's like fantasy role-playing. I'll say, okay, how many people do you think we can have here? How much food can we gather? How much food do we have on hand? Where are the watering points around the property? Did you mark those last time? And if not, okay, well, now you know you need to. How many beds could we put in this building? How many beds could we put in the other building? What will we have for a reception committee? What kind of things do you do to interview people when they come in? And, of course, this is selfish because I'm trying to make them design their own survival plan for this structure, for this facility, so I don't have to do it on the fly when the stuff hits the fan. Because, honestly, you know, I don't mean to be mean or anything, but I know that a lot of people are going to be putting pressure on me to run stuff. They're going to be putting pressure on the pastor to facilitate things. And that's not fair. It's not fair at all. So I'm trying to get some people to think ahead now, and that's what these trainings are for. So if you show up here at 10 a.m. Sunday, go to church with us, have chow with us, and then from about 1 to 4, we'll be doing these tabletops, different scenarios that I'll bring up and throw things at you, and I'll be in charge this time. I'm not going to put anybody on, you know, in the spotlight and say, okay, now you're in charge, because I venture to think there's nobody else here that's run a shelter other than me. If there is, I want you to step up and help me. But if we could come in, if you're hearing my voice and you're a Red Cross trained shelter operator or you've been involved in something along these lines and you want to help, by all means, show up. We'd love to have more people involved. And that's what we're doing. So that's this Sunday, the 17th? Is that the 17th? Yeah. 17th here at the Church of Cahuilla. If you don't know where we're at, you can go to our website, look up Church of Cahuilla. It's all there under special events and training, directions, everything's there. But or just give me a call. And we're getting ready for a break here, but I'll give the phone number out in case somebody wants to call in. 559-346-8362. That's 559-346-8362. And I will answer that phone from about 8 in the morning till 9 at night if you have any questions, even if we're not on the show. I turn it off at 9 now. Just, you know, except for emergency stuff, but I'm not going to answer if I don't know who you are. So we'll be back after the break. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. I am Dutch Jones. Remember, today's Wednesday. We're only doing an hour, so there's only a half hour left. So make sure you pay attention. You fought all the way, Johnny Red. I heard your teeth chatter from the cold outside. Saw the bullets soaking up the wounds in your side. I saw the young boys as they began to fall. You had tears in your eyes, cause you couldn't help it all. But you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. I saw General Lee raise a saber in his hand. Heard the cannons roar as you made your last stand. You marched into battle with the gray and the red. When the cannon smoke cleared, took days to count the dead. Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. When Honest Abe heard the news about your fall, the folks thought he'd call a great victory ball. But he asked the band to play the song Dixie for you, Johnny Reb, and all that you believe. Cause you fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb.
Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb. You fought all the way, Johnny Reb, Johnny Reb. Yeah, you fought all the way.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Don't forget to tune in Thursdays for Practical Christianity. Right here, 6 p.m. with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. He brings in the heavy, heavy scripture stuff, whereas I'm light on it. So we bring him in to give you a biblical worldview of what resistance is all about, what liberty is all about. Again, that's right here, 6 p.m. every Thursday. We also simulcast that on 93.3 FM Vicerant Radio here in the greater Cahuilla Metroplex. So we get some more listeners. We don't do my show locally. I think it would scare too many people. All the hippies, their hairy legs would start tingling or something. I don't know. And that's just the ladies. So we don't do the live show here, except when the pastor's on. We definitely do it when Steve's on. If you missed last night, you missed a really, really good show with Steve Klein. We were talking about Christian partisans and building up each other so that we can pull this off when the time comes, and not give in to the fear, not give in to the cowardice, and just the constant propaganda that tells us that we're all freaks, flakes, right wing fanatics. I'm neither right wing nor left wing. The only thing I care about is Jesus Christ. And it's funny because everybody wants to label everybody else. Sometimes labels are good. There are things that you need to know about and lines that you don't cross. I don't believe in gray areas in everything. I believe in black and white, good and evil, truth and lies. But when it comes to political stuff, that's why I don't do a whole lot of political stuff on this show. I've run the whole gambit. I've gone from being an anarchist to whatever it is I am now, libertarians. I've hung out with them, but I'm just a constitutionalist. But more, I'm a biblicalist? No, that doesn't even make sense. There's not even a word. I believe in law based on the Bible, and that's what we do here when we train everything we do. And right now for this season, this is where the Lord has me. This is where I and my family are making a stand, and I'm trying to train people. I'm trying to help people. Empower people. I'm not trying to lead anyone. I'm not trying to convert anyone. I'm not trying to persuade anyone. I'm looking, and I haven't used this term in a long time, and shame on me, I'm looking for sheepdogs that have already convinced themselves that this is the right thing to do. To be a prepper, I'm a prepper, you're a prepper, wouldn't you like to be a prepper too? To be self-sufficient? I mean, who doesn't? Well, I shouldn't say this, because what self-respecting man doesn't want to be able to take care of his family without outside influences? I love the thought of going to work, earning some dollars, going to the store, exchanging those FRNs for food and feeding my family without having to go ask somebody for help. The people that you work for are happy. I mean, I wish we were doing it for gold and silver or chickens or, whatever. Oh, I would love to find somebody that'd say, hey, you clear 40 acres, I'll give you 10 of it. Lou and I'd be out there every day, 12 hours a day, doing what we could, because we would love to have our own land. We can't do that right now. So I exchange my skills and training for where I live right now. It's no different than you guys exchanging your FRNs for a mortgage. The difference is that I'm investing in a future that's got some substance to it. I don't know how folks that are living in cities, suburbia, think they're going to survive when this all falls apart. You've really got to go out of your way to justify and convince me that living in a city is a good idea. Anytime, during any financial situation, even if things are great, I do not want to be in a city. I need to go to a city, I'll drive to one. But I tell you what, every time I go down, even to Visalia, which is only like 150,000 people, I guess, I just feel dirty and crowded and paranoid. And I'm like, man, I don't even want to be here. And as soon as we hit North Fork Road, North Fork Drive, I just feel like a weight's lifted off of me. You know, the trees, the mountains, the stream running down. I feel free. And that's the way I think God meant us to live. There are some folks that need to be in cities. Yeah, I understand that. But as a whole, we're supposed to be an agrarian society. But we've switched. More people live in cities now than out in the country. And that's the way the communists and the New World Order want it. That's the way the Nazis wanted it. That's the way they want you in confined cities. So every time you argue with somebody like me and say, well, no, I'm gonna make a stronghold in my basement and stay here, you're playing into the hands of the enemy. So one of the things I was looking at today was making chicken coops. And trust me, you could, if you can get a chicken to lay even 150 eggs a year, and you times that times 10, some communities, even if you live in a city, will allow you to have up to 8 or 9 chickens. That's a lot of protein right there. And if you do it right, and you reproduce chickens, you have a little rooster in the mix there. You have a rooster, and you have meat, you have that. And then with the waste product, if you design your system right, you collect the waste product, and you use it as fertilizer on your plant life, the stuff that you're growing. Now, we have a hard time growing anything up here. It's so sad and so annoying. We can't get anything to grow that the gophers don't eat. I'm collecting wood right now to build above ground bins. And that's the only way I think we're going to be able to do it to survive, unless we get enough manpower that we can have people in the garden, you know, around the clock, basically, you know, doing stuff and tending. But I've been really looking at the chicken thing. We've got a chicken coop, but kids have been playing on it, falling through the roof. I don't know if it's worth fixing that one up or tearing it down and building another one in its place. We'll have to do that. But don't overlook chickens. I prefer chickens over rabbits. Rabbits are a good option, but chickens, at least you're going to get the eggs. The feeding cost, though, is kind of tough. If you get one of those chicken tractors, no, it's not a little tractor that the chickens drive around. It's a portable chicken coop that's small enough that you can move it around where they can eat the insects in a given area, and they poop there, and they fertilize that area, and then you move them on. Now other people say, well, you can't use chicken poop. It's too high in nitrates. Well, you mix it in. You move them around. You spread it. You don't use just chicken poop. I don't have a green thumb. That's all I know about it. Chickens, I think, are something that you should look into right now before the value really goes up on them or the availability. And there's so much good stuff on the Internet, good books on how to optimize the chicken and get them to grow. Now, we have a lady here. She has a ton of them. She feeds them scraps. She throws them grain. They roam around a big open area. We have a lot of predators here, so that's another issue. You've got to make it a defensible space so that they can't get in. We got bobcats, skunks, everything, raccoons. I don't even know what goes after the chickens around here, but people are always complaining about it. But we could do a lot to stop them from being able to take away from our family's bounty. But it's a good option. A lot of people are looking at fish. Tilapia reproduce. I told you we watched that movie last week. Tilapia reproduce. Like, one fish can lay 1,200 eggs, one female fish. So you could be doing ponds. But I don't know how you're going to do this stuff in cities. I really don't. I mean, this showed the one guy in that video, he's doing it in a swimming pool. But the defensibility of that, being able to keep other people from taking your fish once they find out you got them. But it doesn't take a whole lot of land if you optimize, integrate, and put things together. And just be focusing on that, because I know we're going to have a hard time growing crops. We're going to have to focus on maybe raising some kind of animals and trapping and doing that kind of thing. Pigs are a good option. I was watching Larry the Cable Guy. And they did a thing on pigs in their Texas, you know, this place that was doing Texas barbecue or something. And they were showing a thing with the pigs. It was on the History Channel this last weekend. And they convert wasted food and garbage into meat. Pigs are always good to have. And if you get enough people, you can have them roaming around an enclosed area. We raised them as a kid. Butchering one, I don't really remember how to butcher a pig. But to feed my family, I'd figure it out. The problem is a lot of people don't like pork. I don't think you can make jerky out of pork. If there's somebody in the chat room that knows, let me know. Lou says he's had it. So preserving it's going to be tough. And something as large as a pig, you get a 300 or 400 pound pig, it dresses out at about 180 pounds. That's 180 pounds of meat. You either have to eat right away or figure out a way to preserve it. That's tricky. That's why I like chickens. You can butcher a chicken, eat it that day, and that's it. That's it. You can catch a fish or a dozen fish, eat them that day, you don't have to preserve it. Larger animals like cows, pigs, even goats, you're going to have more meat unless you're able to salt them, cure them, jerk them, keep them cool somehow. I know in the summertime there's no way we can do it here. Barely in the winter does it get cold enough for us to do that type of thing. So the smaller animals, I think, is the way to go. And I really think people should be looking into that. If we could just find a way to eat gophers, catch them and eat them, we'd be gopher rich. If we could make gopher sandwiches, I don't think we'd have any kind of problem here, because there's just thousands and thousands of them. And the squirrels, they're cannibalistic. I've heard they're not good to eat up here. They're nasty. But, I mean, if we have to, we'll figure out a way to do it. But one of the easiest things to do, and it's what I'm doing right now, is I'm looking at the way that the Native Americans, the indigenous peoples, the Indians, whatever you want to call them, in this area did. They ate a lot of acorns. They ate a lot of acorns, a lot of fish, a lot of deer. But when they were in a village of 200 to 300, they didn't have to worry about preservation of the deer too much because they would devour it. But they still would hang it, smoke it, turn it into a type of jerky called pemmican. Tasted terrible, by the way. I had a local native guy up here, had a little booth set up, and I tried some deer jerky. Oh, it was some of the gamiest, nastiest tasting stuff. So again, a lot of spices. And the acorns, you've got to learn how to leach the acorns. You've got to learn how to prepare them. But you might look for some books right now in your area. And I don't know of any area in North America that didn't have somebody living on it before first contact. So if somebody was living there, there had to be a food source. Now, it may or may not have been wiped out, but you'll have to get far enough away from the cities where there's some natural growth and things going on. Now, there's some freaky plants that have come to America in the last 200 years that you need to avoid. So studying the local flora is a great thing to do. Stacy was telling me about this thing called hogweed that came across from Europe. It's in upstate New York, and it secretes a sap that removes your skin's ability to protect itself from UV, and you basically get second-degree burns on your skin. If you get it in your eyes, it's blinding. So there are some plants out there that are deadly, and you've got to know them. Just as much as you need to know the plants you can eat, you need to know the plants that you need to stay away from. And it's always surprising to me. I'll see some invasive, like thistle or something, and say, man, I wish we could learn to eat that. And there's always some old person going, well, actually, you can eat that part of it and this part of it and that part of it. Start making notes of those things now. Get your kids studying them, especially if you're homeschooling. Put them on it. Well, it's summertime. I don't know how many of you homeschool in the summer. We're letting Lou have a break. But get them studying. Get them studying the local plants and how to best eat, prepare, and also to ensure that they grow pretty well in the area. For me, farming a field and plowing it, that's awesome. But the real successful nomadic people of the world, they would plant something, follow the game, come back the next season, and what they planted would grow, and then they would pick it. Now, there's not a lot of security in that. Animals and other humans may go through it and take it. But if you're in a small area, just try that way, you know, a hunter-gatherer existence. There are still primitive peoples in South America and Africa that are surviving just fine using Stone Age technology. So to sit back and think that, oh, I have to have this Chinese tractor, this plow, this rototiller, not necessarily true, depending on the climate you're in. Now, if you're out in the middle of Arizona somewhere, you're going to need some way to irrigate and things like that, or irrigate or relocate, period. But study these native peoples. I think there's a lot to be said for that. Now, granted, that doesn't mean they weren't wiped out like the Anasazi around 1200, 1300 AD. They just suddenly all disappeared. A great big 100-year drought going on. There's no nobility to the savage that everybody thinks, oh, they can survive anywhere. No, they're susceptible to the environment and warfare and political and social issues too. But they got really in tune with what they had, or they wouldn't have survived as long as they did until we came along to show them, hey, what really needed to be done with their land. Sorry if we have any Native American descendants listening, but I don't get all caught up in that. My ancestors had nothing to do with it, and I have no Native American blood in me, so I don't begrudge the European. But there's a lot to be learned just by visiting your local library and history. I find that the internet gets so hard because I'll research stuff on the internet, and it's just tough. It's like I don't know to whether or not to believe half the stuff I read. But you find a good old book that was written, you know, in the 1800s, you know, for the pioneers, and chances are it's pretty good. Not saying that they didn't write a lot of bunk back then. Like right now, I'm looking for like holistic, different medicinal things for different problems. Let's say cancer, like if you got skin cancer or something. I was looking for things that would be for that. And I keep finding these articles on lemon juice. But it's always the same article, slightly paraphrased on all these different blogs. And I'm like, this could be a hoax. It came from, you know, one place like in 2009. But since then, all these other people have just simply reposted it as a fact. And I have no way of knowing if it's a fact or not. So you have to be careful when you're doing research on the internet. That's why I think it's better to get face-to-face knowledge, go to a library, crack a book, find some old person in your neighborhood that's been growing stuff there forever and has done the trial and error and knows what plants grow and how much you can yield off of, you know, a backyard or an acre or 50 acres or depending on where you're at. I think it's critical now that we start doing this type of stuff. At the very least, documenting it for future generations, not just for your immediate survival and the selfishness of taking care of your family, but also that we document these types of things because they're lost skills. We talk about it all the time. There's this like 80-year-old guy that's a farmer, and he says he just can't find any young men that know how to work a farm anymore. And I'm in that. I don't know how to work a farm. I can drive a tractor and plow and top beats. I've hoed weeds and stuff as a kid growing up in Colorado in Weld County. But, I mean, if I had to be in charge of actually making sure that something grows, I don't know how to do it anymore. If I knew, I forgot, let's put it that way. We were really blessed in Colorado for gardens. It rained every afternoon in the summer. Thunderstorms would roll in around 3. We'd get tornadoes, hail, whatever. The soil was rich. I didn't have a lot of, gopher issues. Even as a kid, I remember growing cantaloupes, corn, potatoes, onions, radishes, everything that we ever needed I could grow, but it was easy. I get out here to Central California, and I can't get anything to grow unless we grow it in a 5-gallon bucket. And, you know, a lot of prayer involved there. You know, I keep praying for God to bless the soil and get my noggin to figure out how to do it. I think when the time comes when all this fails and everything falls apart and I become a full-time farmer, maybe then I'll begin to see the fruits of our labors, no pun intended. But right now when I'm doing it a couple hours a day because I'm pulled off for other stuff, you know, just trying to stay alive in a modern economy, a pre-collapse economy, it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do, and I understand that. So that's why I keep trying to prod you to do what you can now to make it a little easier later. And that's the key, trying to do as much as we can right now so that we don't have to struggle as hard as we are probably going to have to when this all falls apart. One of the things I've been really struggling with is constantly checking our gear. It's like no matter how many times I put something away, especially communications, I had a 2-meter 440 radio. Put it away, get it out, it just doesn't work. And you take it to be repaired, they go, oh, it's cheaper to go buy a new one. I don't know what I did. Took the batteries out, it worked when I put it away. You know, these gremlins that come after those of us that are survivalists or preppers or whatever term you want to use, it's annoying. You know, you put your pistol away, you clean it, everything's great, you go out to the range and something goes wrong. Magazines suddenly decide they don't want to feed properly. Compasses don't want to work, especially with electronics. That's why I really, really hate electronics. We got my GPS out the other day, and it just doesn't work anymore. I turn it on, and I get streaks across the screen. I don't know. I don't like to depend on GPS anyway, but it was a nice convenience thing to have for running a little walk-around one. But no, now I don't have a GPS anymore. I just put together a group of 5-gallon buckets utilizing Mylar bags and oxygen absorbers. Can grow anything. It can't grow anything here either, Sin City's saying. Yeah, we got a ton of 5-gallon buckets. We've got fruit trees in them. We've got peppers in them. We've grown onions. We're experimenting with all kinds of stuff in 5-gallon buckets. Just do what you can. You know, just do what you can to grow stuff. Store stuff. We got 55-gallon drums full of all kinds of food. We've been storing a lot of ramen, and then we were talking to some of the ladies, and they're like, oh, ramen goes bad real fast. It goes stale. I don't really care if it goes stale. I'm going to load it up with spices anyway. But still, trial and error. But unfortunately, in a post-collapse society, a lot, if you have more error than successes, you're probably going to lose people. And that's the sad thing. The medical thing. The whole side of the medical thing. You know, being able to anticipate what is a convenient thing now. Oh, just run down to the store, grab some Alka-Seltzer, rub down, get some Neosporin. Oh, you get a cut on you? Throw some Neosporin on it. But when that stuff's not around, and people say, well, you shouldn't be using Neosporin anyway. But you get my point. You know, a toothache. A toothache now is an annoyance so you can get in. It can be deadly in a post-collapse environment. We've got the books, you know, where there is no dentist, where there is no doctor, you know, tactical nurse, that kind of stuff. And we're always bringing people in to train us, you know, what to do more. So you can never prepare enough. And there's always going to be something you overlook. That's why the more people you have, the better it is, because other people will say, hey, try this, try that. But these are just some of the things that I'm struggling with, and I'm sharing them with you so that, because I get the impression, a lot of people send me emails, oh, I wish I could be like you. No way, man. I'm nowhere near where I need to be. I just share with you guys when I get these inklings and I find something cool out, I share it with you immediately. I'm not the author of half the stuff that I bring you. It's just because I read the stuff and I talk to people and do all kinds of stuff. Sin City's talking about greenhouses made out of PVC. And yeah, actually we've talked about that. We've been collecting sliding glass doors that people don't want. We'll make that the roof, you know, make it a more permanent roof, you know, bolt them together, screw them together. We've got 4x4s laying out there, plastic. We got all that kind of stuff. Making a greenhouse is a great idea with raised beds. That's probably what we're going to do here so that we can grow like tomatoes in the winter and things like that. Everything I've tried the tires and potatoes, and what happens? The gophers just yank them right through the ground. We've tried, you know, everything, and it's just tough. And, but yeah, a 6x6 PVC greenhouse with plastic, you know, I love it. Somebody here actually went out and bought one of those expensive, like from Home Depot glass ones. And went over there the other day and a bunch of the glass is broken. Did you notice that? Yeah. I don't know what happened. I don't know if kids are throwing rocks at her stuff or what, but I like plastic. That way it's a little cheaper. You know, you get good, heavy, heavy plastic. Don't get something cheap. Don't make it out of trash bags. But a clear plastic. It's a good, great idea, Sin City. Militia threw that out there. Because he's in Vegas. You know, what are you going to do? Plus, if you're in Vegas, you can turn that into a great, big, giant, what's the word? Distiller. A big water distiller, you know. You could collect water that way and get distilled water. But I just picked up a tub somebody got rid of. We're going to use that for something, you know. But, yeah, greenhouse is the way to go with raised plant beds, bring in soil. The soil here is really alkali, and so we've got to do that. We've got to treat it. We've got to deal with it. I'm trying to grow a red apple right now, which is just a ground cover to make things look a little better, and it doesn't look like it wants to take. I don't know if the gophers are getting it or what, but we've been watering it. It's a good fire protectant. A lot of people down in Southern California plant it on hillsides, red apple, or you'll hear ice plant, things like that. And it helps cover the ground, keeps the weeds from growing in. So we'll see what happens there. But we've got a large fenced-off area. We don't have a rototiller. I had to go out there with a pick and a shovel and a hoe for what we did plant, and it's not doing well. You know, so we just got to take it up a notch. Don't give up. Don't cry about it, but go out there, do the research, and find what you can. If you can grow anything, it'll augment what you can salvage, store, collect, and it'll help. I mean, I don't want to live in a world without tomatoes. I don't want to live in a world without cucumbers. You know, I'm thinking of all the stuff. That's one of the things, and I'll end with this. I got about 4 more minutes. Think of the luxuries that you have now that you can't store enough of them. You can't, you know, because shelf life is bad. Like, say, mayonnaise. How many of you white folks out there love to just slather mayonnaise on your bologna sandwich? I don't know how to make mayonnaise. I have no idea how to make it. Ice cream, you know. People, I know how to make ice cream. Used to make it as a kid with the old ice cream maker. Those luxuries, those things that make life a little sweeter, maybe focus on those. Figure out a way to make stuff. Figure out a way to things that make your meal that you take for granted now that you won't have access to. I always tell you folks to get a lot of spices. You always buy spices. And, of course, the old standby, toilet paper. Store as much toilet paper as you possibly can. We don't. I've got alternatives. You know, I know how to survive without toilet paper. I grew up dirt poor and we didn't have toilet paper. Collect all the phone books that they throw on the sidewalk in your neighborhood. You know, grow plants that you can use. Like we've recently discovered that up here. But look at those things now. Do an assessment of all the things that you take for granted. Maybe it'll make you a little more appreciative next time you have prayer time and thank the Lord for toilet paper and mustard and ketchup and those things. Think about something as simple as bathing. The process of bathing in a post-collapse society, hygiene is critical. Y'all see the old Mountain Man movies where they didn't bathe till summertime. That's why they didn't live very long. Disease is rampant. Come up with ways to bathe. You know, a portable bathtub, something you can unfold. I've seen those out there, military ones. Make one. So, you know, a way to heat up water and, you know, in a wash tub in the middle of the kitchen like they used to in the old pioneer days. See, the answers are all out there. We're not going to be doing anything new that our ancestors, other than the luxuries that we have. Electricity. Take electricity out of it, and there's nothing new that they weren't doing in 1840 on the frontier. The solutions are there. We just got to dig them up and find them and figure out how to become proficient at them. When they first came over, through the Cumberland Gap and saw those farm fields, they had to clear them and remove the rocks. They may not have had gophers like we do, but they still had hardships, and they overcame them, and we're going to overcome them. With the help of God, working hard together, fellowship, we're going to secede. We're not going to disappear from this planet. Our enemy's going to, because their egos, their arrogance, and their evil plans will be their downfall. And it's going to be a lot more in 7 years. You know, this isn't going to be about Joseph and the Pharaoh, you know, and there are going to be people that are going to give up their land and their children and their freedom to get grain to go to the government granaries. We don't want to have to do that. So every minute that we prepare today is 1 minute that we get to stay in freedom after the collapse. So we're ending our hour today. I want to thank you for tuning in. If we had any new folks, thank you. Thank you for directing people here. Thank you for always being part of the show, those that make it. Thank you, Olima, for continually doing a great job on the archives. We are doing everything we can do, but there's always more. I'm looking at a message I got from IC Freedom. He's posting something I said at a different time. Folks, please remember that the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord. And unless you abide in the Lord, you're not going to take part in that victory. It's as simple as that. So keep checking back here. Take part in our trainings. Come here, check us out. Email me, call me. I'll help with what I can. I'm no expert. I am not an expert at this. I am exactly like where most of you are. I'm just sick and tired of it. I don't want to take it anymore. And I'm turning to the Lord for my salvation and for my blessings and trying to take care of my family. That's all I'm doing. I am Dutch Jones. This has been Stronghold Radio.